Jesus had the multitudes following him everywhere he went. And guys, I'm just going to tell you, he just got through telling them, you know, the parable of the sower and explaining it to them. And we talked about that last week, that the seed's always good. The seed is the Word of God, and it's always good whenever it hits the soil, you know. And sometimes in life, we get bad seed. I was just talking to somebody yesterday, and in fact, it was Danny Swift, and he was talking about how he'd gotten some bad seed, and he put it in the ground, and it just didn't germinate. That's really disappointing, and so we can blame that on the seed. You know, maybe we prepared the soil, we did everything, but whenever it comes to God's Word, you can never blame it on the seed. The seed is always good. And so it really depends on the soil of what kind of fruit it's going to bring forth. And so Jesus went through this teaching, and his disciples, you know, heard him teach it to the crowds, and they're like, Jesus, we don't get it. And he goes, if you don't get this, how are you going to get the other parables? And so he's teaching them to listen with spiritual ears. Now here's the deal, guys. You really can't hear things from a spiritual standpoint totally until God puts his Holy Spirit in you. Do I get an amen to that? I had a profound experience. I tried to read the Bible before I was saved, and it just didn't make sense to me. And I thought, why am I wasting my time? If I was only going to read it as a novel, some of it was kind of interesting, but I'm not really a reader, so I got really frustrated with it. But I'm going to tell you, as soon as I gave my life to Jesus, and he began, you know, I became born again. I had the Holy Spirit living in me. The Bible became alive. Because God put his Spirit in me, that spiritual truth might begin to be formed in me. And so my understanding became very different. And I'm going to say, Jesus is teaching them here to listen with spiritual ears. I don't know if you guys have noticed or not, but whenever you look at the world and you view it from just totally a physical perspective, things can look a little different than what they do if you look at it from a God perspective, from a heavenly perspective. There's a whole lot of people that are trying to solve all the problems in the world today from a purely secular, worldly perspective. And I'm just going to tell you, it's going to fail every time. Because when we're dealing with people, and we're dealing with people's hearts, and we're dealing with society and things of the way that things all work together, what we're going to find is, there's a spiritual battle that's going on behind all of it. All of it. You know all that violence that we see happening in the streets? There's a spiritual battle behind it. The people are being used as pawns, though they are responsible for their actions. I will say that. Ultimately, there are spiritual entities behind it. There's principalities of darkness and rulers of this age that are behind it. A lot of the violence that we see. And so the battle has to be somewhat spiritually discerned, and we have to apply a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. We can't fix spiritual problems with physical solutions only. Now, there may be some physical solutions that come into play because, you know, we've got to deal with some of it. But what we need to understand is that there's spiritual problems. And they need spiritual solutions. And if they need spiritual solutions, then you got to go to the people that have the Holy Spirit living in them. Because you can't get a spiritual solution out of a non-spiritual entity. Are you guys following me? Are you tracking with me? Am I making it clear? So what I'm trying to say is the answer to the problems are in you. Amen. They're in the church. They're in the blood-bought believers in Jesus Christ. They're not found in this building. They're not found in all these other secular entities around. They may come into play, but ultimately, they're found and will be found through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. So please, during these days, seek God wholeheartedly, undividedly, with an undivided heart. Ask Him how He wants to use you in this time, because I'm going to tell you, unless we see a great revival, we are in major, major trouble. We live in a time like I have never seen before or really ever read about in recent times. We live in a time where it looks like everything's falling apart, but I'm going to tell you, if we will rely on God and we will let Him lead us, I think everything will fall into place. I think we can see a revival like we've never seen before. Because you see, people that are spiritually dead are getting desperate for answers. And those people that are spiritually dead, and if all their other answers run out and none of them work, you know what? They might be willing to listen to the words of life then. We've seen Muslims coming to the Lord in the Middle East like never before these past 5 or 6 years. And I'll tell you why. It's because ISIS came in and unleashed their fury in certain parts of the Middle East to where even Muslims said, if that's Islam, I want nothing to do with it. They left Islam. They had to go to these camps in these places where they were out of their homeland as refugees. And whenever they encountered Christians, they were ready for answers. And Muslims have been coming to faith like crazy and giving their lives to Jesus. I'm going to tell you, sometimes God uses the disasters to wake people up so that we can see. This whole coronavirus thing, guys, I can tell you, this is not something that's just out of God's control. Even if it was man-made, you know, we hear that maybe China made it. Well, even if China made it, God's still bigger. He can still use it. He can still bring people to the Lord through it, and that's His desire. So let's get into Mark chapter 4, verse 21, because Jesus is trying to tune His disciples in so that they will pay attention to what they hear. Let's see what He has to say. Also, let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word today. The only reason why I don't have you stand every week is because sometimes my readings are chapters. I don't figure you want to stand for a chapter. But today we're going to be mainly focusing in on these five verses. And I want you to stand, not only to show your respect to God, but also to show that this word is for me today. Okay? So let's read, starting at verse 21. Dear Father, I pray that You would bless us as we read Your word today. Help to open our ears, our spiritual ears, so that we can hear it and pay attention to what You're saying. And He said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then He said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Dear Father, I again pray, Lord, I read this prayerfully today before the congregation of Your children, that we would be able to hear what You have to say, to pay attention to what we hear, and to put it into practice in our lives. So God, give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. Let's break this down just a little bit. So first of all, what's a lamp for? Why do you get out of light? David. So you can light things up and see it. Exactly. That's what Steve said as well. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? See, my children and grandchildren, when they're young, they turn on the flashlight and they stick it in a drawer. Yes, sir. Yeah, to counter darkness. Okay. Do you know that darkness is nothing? Did you know that? Darkness is actually nothing. It has no mass, it has no substance. Darkness is only the absence of light. So whenever we see darkness taking over in the United States of America or around the world, do you know what that actually is? It's an absence of the light. That don't mean that Jesus isn't light. Jesus is still light. But He left us here to be light. So if there's an absence of light that's allowing the darkness to take over, guys, it's an absence of you and me. And so we need to allow our lights to shine. Don't be like my children that turn on the flashlight and they throw it in a drawer or they put it somewhere. And then whenever it's really dark and I need a flashlight and I find the flashlight, I find that the batteries are all dead. It's all wasted. It didn't get used for what it's supposed to be used for. And I'm afraid that's what the church is doing sometimes. We're taking the resources that God has given us and we're using it only for ourselves or for our comforts, and we're not using it to really shine the light into a lost and dying world. And I'll tell you why. It's because we're uncomfortable when people get mad at us. That's at least one of the reasons. I can't say every reason. You might have a little different reason, but here's the thing. Jesus is trying to make a point to us. He's asking his disciples in that day, and I think he's asking us today, guys, is the lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? So what's the answer?
No.
No.
You just catch out the bed on fire.
Well, yeah, okay. That would be bad too. But let's just call it a flashlight. It's a flashlight brought out to be put under a basket or under a bed. No. Or is it to be set on a lampstand so that it'll give light, right, to the entire room? And you know what? We've demonstrated this with candlelight services and things. This whole room can be completely dark. And whenever it's completely dark and you light one candle, wow, the light begins to dispel the darkness. One little candle. If we lit a little candle in here where there's a lot of light, you wouldn't even notice it. But buddy, I'll tell you what, when there's a lot of darkness and that one candle shines, it reveals things all over the entire room. And of course, the more lights that we have shining, the more it reveals. Guys, there's nothing hidden which will not be revealed when the light shines. So there's a lot of question about what's going on these days, what's happening. Why is all this happening in the United States and all this and that and the other? I'm going to be bold. And I'm just going to step out there. And I'm going to say it's because the church hasn't shined the light like we're supposed to. We keep blaming everybody else, but I want to say, guys, let's accept some of the responsibility sitting in this house today, that even if I wasn't totally part of the problem, I'm going to be part of the solution. And I'm going to make sure that I'm part of the solution. That solution won't come by, you know, going out and killing all the bad guys. The solution's going to come as we begin to be the light. Be the light. Don't just use the light or think about the light or have a lot of light. I got a light in my pocket right now, my cell phone. And man, it's got a dandy light in it. And sometimes whenever I'm walking through this church at night, locking all the doors on Wednesday night after everybody's gone, I turn that on so that I can find my way around. And it illuminates the things that could be bad, that I could trip over and hurt myself. But it don't do me any good unless I get it out of my pocket and use it. Guys, unless you let the light shine through you, and the light is Jesus Christ, unless you let His goodness shine through you, all these things that are hidden won't be revealed, and they're going to continue to be stumbling blocks for us and everyone else. So we know that Jesus is the light of the world. He said so. Do I get an amen to that? Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. All right. How about us? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. For you were once darkness. You know what that darkness was? It was an absence of light in you. Guys, I'm going to tell you, none of us are good in and of ourselves. Do I get an amen to this? Like, guys, here's the thing. Our heart, above all things, is desperately wicked. We need Jesus to make anything good in us. We may intend good. We may want to be good. But here's the thing. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And here it is, verse 11. Listen close, church. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Guys, if there are works of darkness that are hidden in your life, it's because you are suppressing the light in that area of your life. You need to let Jesus shine so He'll expose it. You can get rid of it. Those things that are hidden are the things that are killing us. Guys, do I have to go down a list? Pornography, drug use, all this human trafficking that's going on even in our nation, guys. The church needs to come away from the world so we can be the light to shine back into the world to expose this stuff. All the abortion, all the death. Guys, we have got so many orphans in our communities today that have parents, but their parents aren't being parents. And so the children effectively don't have parents. And maybe you grew up in a house like that. I don't know. Maybe you know the pain I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you, there is such a need for foster parents in this day and age. And I'm just going to tell you, we're trying to become a kinship foster parent right now. They don't make it easy on us. But don't get discouraged because the kids still need it. Be a light to somebody. Be a light into their life. But the only way we can be a light is if we have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Guys, we have got to denounce every bit of it. If you got something in your life that just came to mind, some addiction, some unfruitful work of darkness in you, something your eyes are looking at, something your mind's thinking about, some kind of an attitude that you're holding on to that you haven't gotten rid of, repent of it today, please. Let's be light. It's like taking a light, you know, my flashlight, and painting black paint all over the front of it. It might give off a little something, but buddy, I'll tell you what, it ain't going to do much. We need to get rid of the unfruitful works of darkness so that we can be the light. You see, you were once darkness, but now you're a light in Christ. Now be the light. Let's quit waiting on Jesus to just send an angel to do it. He's already sent. The ones he wants to use, it's us. Amen. Let's do it. Do I get an amen? Amen? So the question is, do you have ears to hear? That's what Jesus asked them. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. What's he talking about? Point at your ears. Go ahead. You can make them stick out and everything. Show me your ears. We got them. But the question is, are they working on the spiritual frequencies? You know, like you tune your radio, different frequencies. Nowadays, it's just pushing a button. I know, I'm showing my old age. If you're into ham radio, you know, you tune to certain frequencies. If you got a CB radio, you tune to a certain channel that's a different frequency. Like if Brother JD wants to talk to his brother Steve while they're cruising down the road, what channel do you use, JD? What channel do y'all use? On the CB, what channel do you use? 19. If he wants to talk to his brother Steve, he's got to be on channel 19. So he's got to be tuned into that frequency. Guys, I've got these. You can see them. But there was a time when they didn't hear from God because they were tuned into the wrong frequency. Let them get tuned in to Jesus. Stop letting the world overpower your frequency and put you on a wrong channel. Get on the frequency where Christ is the one who's speaking into your life. That's going to mean you're going to have some quiet time with Him. You're going to have to spend some time listening to Him. You're going to have to spend some time, dare I say, in the Word of God every day. Please tell me that you have at least some portion of the day that you take in at least some of the Word of God. Please tell me that. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hands because every time I do, I go home and cry. I get like three hands in the congregation. I pray to God that every one of you, you're responsible to God, not your pastor. I pray to God that if you say you love Jesus, you're going and you're talking to Him and you're letting Him talk to you every day, at least some. We really need to be tuned in so that we have ears to hear. Why is it so important that we have ears to hear? Because He wants us to pay attention and use it. He said, He don't want us to just be hearers of the Word of God. He wants us to be doers of the Word of God. And we can't do something that we don't understand, so He wants us to have spiritual ears to understand it. And that's what He means in verse 24 whenever He says, take heed what you hear. A more modern way to say this is pay attention to what you hear. Understand it. So that, why? So that you can do it. And guys, then he goes on with this next thought. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. How many of you guys planted a garden this year? Raise your hand if you planted a garden. Okay? Do you expect to get back more than you planted? There's an expectation that if you put out an okra seed, I just got his attention back there. I got a man in the house that hates okra. I got more than one. You're going to get a whole lot of okra. All right? And if you put out a zucchini seed, one seed, it's going to grow a plant. And what's the plant going to do? I know, you guys have been giving us zucchini, and I appreciate it so much, because ours didn't do so well. And I mean, you guys have told me, I got zucchinis coming out my ears. Zucchini, 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 more than you can eat. You get more than what you plant. If you cut open a zucchini, you know what you're going to find? A whole bunch of seeds. For that one seed that you planted, you're going to find hundreds of seeds. Guys, but by the same measure you use, you're going to get an increase. It'll be measured back to you, and it'll be more than what you sowed. It's really important that you use some measure. Because here's the converse to it. If you don't plant anything, what do you expect to get back? Nothing. You got to plant something, and you'll get back more. And there's some other things that we want to... There's a whole principle of reaping that we want to get out of this, okay? So there's a principle of sowing, and there's a principle of weeping. And so here we are, we're sowing and we're reaping. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, but this I say to you, he who sows sparingly, what does sparingly mean? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. If you sow sparingly, you're also going to reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Yeah. So if you sow one seed and you get back 100 seeds, what's going to happen if you sow 100 seeds? Wow! 1,000 times 100. How many is that? 10,000. So you kind of see where we're going here? It's the same way spiritually in your life, folks. If you're sowing back into your life bountifully, like I said, at least a little bit of Scripture each day, what if you take in a lot? Then you're going to have a great harvest in your life. You're going to start thinking more like Jesus. And if you're thinking more like Jesus, then you're going to start acting more like Jesus. Are you following me? That's the kind of harvest Jesus is looking for. Then you're getting rid of the things of darkness because there's no room for it. Because you see, darkness is just the absence of light. You want to get rid of some darkness in your life, fill it up with light. And then the light starts to shine out of you. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Yeah, this is even talking about our giving, folks. If you give sparingly, don't expect to get a whole lot of enjoyment back out of it. But if you give bountifully, oh man, you're sowing back into heaven. You're sending your treasures to heaven where nothing will steal it away. But I'm going to say this is a principle that works in every spiritual area of your life. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Giving is more than just your money. Giving has to do with your time, too. It has to do with your time when you're not at church. It has to do with your time no matter where you are. If you give to God, I'm going to tell you, God sees it. God's going to bless you, and he is going to increase you. That's a principle of reaping. You always reap later than you sow, and you always reap more than you sow. And that works both ways, folks. If you're sowing unrighteousness, you're going to reap more than what you sowed of that unrighteousness. But if you're reaping sowing righteousness, you're going to reap even more righteousness. So remember this principle and understand we are responsible to respond. You see, in the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. If you're judging others, you'll get judged. If you're doing good to others, God will help you to abound and be bountiful in your spiritual life. If you are giving back to God in your time and in your energy and trying to put Him first, you will abound spiritually. And then he goes on to say, for whoever has, to him more will be given. To him who has, let's just say, to him who has sown, more will be reaped. Because it's part of that principle. To him who has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have. So you, okay, I had this friend in last church. He didn't like this anymore. I'm really glad he repented, but I want you to hear about this friend. This friend, I think he'd be all right. I'm not going to use his name. And so one day, I said, you know, I just see that God's really working in your life. And it seems like that if you would avail yourself to more of his word, you would really grow fast. And this is what he told me. He said, I really don't want to hear anymore. And I said, why is that? That really puzzles me. He said, because if I hear more, I know more will be expected of me. So do you know what he was doing at that point? I can't hear you. I'm going to try to blast your eardrums out because I couldn't hear myself. You see, here's the thing, guys. If you have, you're listening, you're letting God speak into your life, you're exercising your spiritual gifts, you're sowing, you're going to reap more. But if you stick your fingers in your ears and you won't have any of it, what you have is going to be taken away. And we got a whole society that's sitting out here going, you know, if I go to church and I listen, I might feel guilty and I'll have to change something, so I just won't go. Because it makes me feel uncomfortable. Well, here's the deal. If you're holding out on God, what you have will be taken away from you. The little bit of grace that he gave you might end up being a judgment against you. But you see, if you'll go ahead and give all of it, don't put limits on God. I remember whenever I used to do that, I used to say, well, I'll give, okay, I'll begrudgingly give the tenth, you know, in my giving. And then I decided maybe that tithe was speaking of my time too. Okay, I'll try to figure it out, you know, the time that I'll give God a day to follow him. God wants the whole thing. He doesn't just come in here to take a little bit of your life. He wants the whole deal. He owns it all. He owns your every breath. He owns your heartbeat. Guys, it's all borrowed. And we're going to give an account to what we did with it. Because he's letting us borrow it for a reason. Guys, so here's the deal. Take the principle of the harvest or the principle of reaping into your heart for a minute. And think about this. Do I want to give a little bit of my life? Do I want to give a little bit of my time? Do I want to hold back certain areas to where I give nothing? And I hold my fingers in my ears because I want my life to be about me. Then, guys, here's the deal. What you're doing is you're cutting yourself off. Amen. And that's what Jesus, God in the flesh, was telling his disciples. Have ears to hear. Pay attention to what you hear, so that you can put it in practice in your life. Because if you'll give and you'll accept his grace in that area, you're going to get more. Amen. But if you refuse, even what you have will be taken away. Guys, I can tell you, whenever I first came to the Lord, I thought, what does this mean with my family? What do I do about my children? We've lived for, you know, ever how many years up to that point. I don't know how old John was whenever I got saved. And him and his brother, they were 10, 11 years old, something like that. And I'm thinking, what? How does this change? What does this do to our family? And it was like God just spoke into my heart. He said, you give them to me and I'll figure it out. I've already got a plan. And so one night I was setting up all by myself and I was reading the word. And God just put it on my heart. You need to sacrifice your children to me. And I was like, what does that mean? You mean I got to kill them? Obviously not. He just wanted me to say, God, they're not mine. They're yours. You do with them whatever you want. And you know what? Whenever our son decided to move to Virginia, I had to remember that day. Because I didn't want him to move to Virginia. But you see, I had to remember. He didn't belong to me. He never did. He always belonged to God, and I willingly gave him back. And you know what? I have received so much more blessing. My son is closer to me now than ever. And I praise God for that. That we can have a real relationship because neither one of us are trying to hold back on Jesus. Now, if I would have said, no, Jesus, you can't have my son, I think we'd have just went through more and more destruction. Guys, what I want you to do is give it all to Jesus. If you don't, what you have will be taken away. It grieves my heart. Don't let what you have get taken away, folks. Deal with him now. We've been reading about Jonah here lately in the youth Sunday school class, or in the youth and young adults. And it's very interesting. He didn't want to give God what he had. He even tried to go to another country to hide from God. Didn't work. He tried to get in the belly of the ship. Didn't work. So he said, throw me overboard and I'll go down to the bottom of the sea and I'll just die. And there I can get away from God. I won't have to do what he wants me to do. And guess what? It didn't work. God prepared a great fish to swallow him up. And I'm going to tell you, 3 days later, he spit him out after Jonah finally prayed to him and said, God's salvation belongs to you. Do with me as you want. And he didn't even necessarily change his attitude. Word of that part. He's mad that God's showing mercy to these people. But I'll tell you, he finally did what God said. Guys, sometimes you just need to do what God says. And let him start changing your heart on the inside. But we got to understand what God says before we can do it. So I pray to God you have ears to hear. And I pray to God that you take heed to what you hear, that you pay attention. Because I sure would hate to have to see you down around the seaweed with a big fish swallowing you up. But God ain't going to change his mind. I'm going to pray for you, dear Father. I know that as sure as we are human beings, there's still rebellion lurking around in the flesh. So God, I pray that you would just chase every bit of that rebellion out of me. God, that you would chase every bit of that rebellion out of everybody that's sitting in this room. God, that we would just give everything to you so the light can shine. God, I want the light to shine. I want you to start revealing the darkness. I want you to dispel that darkness. I want you to get rid of that darkness as the light shines through your people who are wholly surrendered to you. God, help us to be surrendered to you. And I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.